with Custodians of the Planet. Custodians of the Planet brings consciousness to environmental issues and looks at different perspectives regarding the tensions and harmony of human activities in a changing climate. Dependence on fossil fuels requires a continual exploration and exploitation of new resources. In the marine environment, exploration is achieved through seismic surveys, an acoustic imaging technique that uses intense, low-frequency impulse signals generated near the sea surface and directed into the seabed. Seismic surveys involve powerful air guns blasting the seas at 10-second intervals and measuring the echoes of the seafloor to help map offshore oil and natural gas fields. As well as for petroleum exploration, seismic surveys are also used to image subsea formations likely to be used as traps for sequestering CO2, in scientific surveys of the Earth's geology, and for monitoring petroleum recovery for producing fields. The impact of seismic surveys on sea life and marine ecosystems is still greatly unknown. Imagine dynamite going off in your backyard every 10 seconds for days to weeks at a time. And this is actually what it sounds like underwater. It is as scary as it sounds. So where is this happening? In Great Bight, during 2014 and early 2015, petroleum-related marine seismic surveys were completed. Plans have always been underway for a long time to probe the Great Australian Bight for gas and oil using seismic testing. BP and Chevron both had plans to probe and drill, but pulled out of the Bight, largely in response to public pressure built by organizations such as the Wilderness Society. However, in January this year, the National Petroleum Regulator granted permission to different exploration company, PGS, known as Petroleum Geoservices, to carry out seismic blasting over 30,000 square kilometer area in the Great Australian Bight. A Norwegian oil company, Equinor, also wants to search for oil off the coast of the South Australia by the end of 2020, but still needs approval from the National Petroleum Regulator. So far, the project has also been slowed down, with seismic testing now postponed until next year. Environmental groups and NGOs will keep fighting to protect our climate, communities, and wildlife. To explain a little more, the director of Wilderness Society, Peter Owen, joins us. Peter, welcome to Custodians of the Planet.
Thank you.
To begin with, can you tell us broadly about the work and ethos of the Wilderness Society?
Yeah, well, the Wilderness Society in South Australia is an organisation works to protect wilderness areas, large, intact, functioning ecosystems, which the world is, you know, losing them rapidly. So wilderness areas are becoming increasingly important. A big focus of our work has been across the Great Australian Bight for the last decade or so, working both on the land adjacent to the Bight, such as the Nullarbor Plain and all of the offshore islands within the Bight, and then both at a state and federal level in terms of the protection of the marine environment of the Great Australian Bight. So it's been a considerable body of work for over a decade or more, but now we see vast areas protected as wilderness areas, both on the land and sea, yeah, in the Great Australian Bight, which is fantastic.
As you know, today we are talking about seismic testing in the Bight. For context, where does the Great Australian Bight start and finish?
Well, I think that's a moot point. there are various definitions of the Great Australian Bight, but, you know, broadly speaking, I mean, it's a vast area, you know, the coastline of Southern Australia, from Western Australia all the way across to, you know, South Australia and even the South Australia-Victorian border. So, yeah, the Bight is a very large body of water.
Then how many companies over the last decade have been interested in exploring and drilling in this large body of water?
Well, there's over 10 exploration leases in the Bight now. But in terms of companies that I guess have really been advancing their interests to drill there, we saw BP. They were the initial company back 5-6 years ago, but they drew from the Great Australian Bight at the end of 2016. They were then followed by Chevron, who followed BP's lead, responsible lead, mind you, and they also chose to withdraw from their drilling plans in the Bight at the end of 2017. But now we've got predominantly Norwegian government-owned company Equinor, who picked up the sole ownership of two of the four initial leases that BP pulled out of, who are also now pushing to carry out drilling right in the middle of the Great Australian Bight Marine Park.
And what have they proposed? Do you have any information related to their proposal?
Well, Equinor released a proposal for public comment a few months back. You know, they're proposing to carry out deep sea exploration drilling right in the middle of the Great Australian Bight Marine Park. Now, that park was set aside a generation ago to protect one of the most significant southern right whale nurseries in the world. Mm-hmm. So there couldn't be a more inappropriate place carrying out the type of activity that they're proposing. But their application is currently before the Australian Oil and Gas Regulator, NOPSEMA, who is expected to provide further feedback on that application by November the 14th. So it's very live as we speak.
Wow. Can you tell me about the risk of seismic surveys? And I'd like to know who lives in the Great Australian Bight and what do we know about how they will be affected?
Well, seismic surveys, obviously, as you said in the introduction, is a large boat towing a huge array of cabling behind it, setting off explosions, you know, blasts, obviously sound waves down through the water column and into the substrate below. I mean, we're talking many kilometres in the situation of the Great Australian Bight. Some of the areas that they're interested in drilling are kilometres deep just to the seabed, and then they're talking about going many kilometres into the seabed in search of oil. So these explosions go non-stop almost, you know, every few seconds, every hour, you know, 24 hours a day for at times months on end. So it's obviously creating quite an incredible disturbance for all of the animals that live in that water column. And in the situation in the Great Australian Bight, you're talking about one of the more significant whale nurseries known. So one of the most significant whale nurseries on the planet. Blue whales, you know, southern right whales, you know, all of the big, you know, many of the big whale species come through this area. And one of the reasons is it's there's a process where deep nutrient-rich water from the depths, you know, of the southern oceans gets shunted up the continental shelf on the edge of Australia up into the shallower water. So, and the whales feed on this. So it's a very unique area in that regard and, you know, is home to a lot of whales, a lot of dolphins, a lot of the big pelagic fish species. It's a very, very biodiversely rich area. So seismic testing in an area like this, again, like drilling in the middle of the Great Australian Bight Marine Park, seismic testing in an area that's a, you know, a very significant whale sanctuary is again totally inappropriate just because of the impact that seismic testing has on these types of animals.
I understand that there are a range of approval and permissions required before drilling and exploration can begin. Can you tell us a bit about the approval processes and the role of NOPSEMA?
Yes, well, Equinor, Norwegian company Equinor are currently, they've already used, I guess, seismic data that would have been obtained some years ago. So a few years back, some seismic surveys were carried out in the Great Australian Bight. That's the last time any seismic activities happened in this area. And that data would have been initially obtained by BP and has since been, you know, obviously bought by Equinor. And so they've done that bit there on the second phase of exploration, which is the exploration drilling, which is obviously very concerning because that's also very high risk. That's when it all went wrong in the Gulf of Mexico, for instance, the exploration drilling stage. So, yes, there's massive concern about what's being proposed in the Great Australian Bight. But the first stage in any exploration process is the seismic testing, where they try and work out where there's, potential resources in order to then drill and try and shore up whether there are resources there. So the seismic is the first stage. And like I said, Equinor has already, you know, I guess, used work from that data, which was the initial bit of seismic testing that happened in the Bight some years ago. But there's another company called PGS, also a Norwegian company, that has applied to do some more seismic testing in the Great Australian Bight, not for Equinor, but for probably to sell on to some of the other leaseholders in the Bight. they received a conditional approval by the Australian Oil and Gas Regulator, NOPSEMA, based on them providing a whole lot more information, which was an odd situation that they would be given an approval subject to a whole lot more information coming. So, and we're not sure where that is currently at, although what we do know is that company has now announced that they would be delaying any seismic activity for some time. So that's largely in abeyance at the moment. But what the community across southern Australia is obviously very concerned about is the current application for exploration drilling before the Australian regulator NOPSEMA by Equinor.
Yeah. Let's assume if they get a green light for exploration, then what are the risks of offshore drilling? And if there was a spill, the worst case scenario, what would the consequences be?
Yeah, well, obviously, this is why there are, or one of the reasons why there's so much opposition to this proposal. I mean, what we've seen in, and certainly across southern Australia over the last couple of years, is almost an unprecedented level of opposition and community concern to proposals to carry out, you know, deep sea exploration oil drilling in the Bight. I mean, we've got over 20 councils, local government councils, that have passed resolutions either raising concern or outright opposing these proposals. And, you know, this type of thing's unheard of in Australia. So people are very concerned about the risks associated with what's being proposed. I mean, we've seen numerous reports on oil spill modelling. So there's been independence reports commissioned, in fact, by the Wilderness Society a few years ago when oil spill modelling wasn't being made public by BP at the time. And then BP, when they just before they pulled out of the Great Australian Bight, released their own oil spill modelling. And then Equinor's also made public some oil spill modelling. And all of that suggests that the risks here are very, very serious. You know, the magnitude of what is possible. You know, we're talking about, you know, the potential for oil to be found in vast areas across southern Australia. So this is not a risk worth taking, the majority of the community believe. So the Great Australian Bight, as I said, is not only a pristine marine wilderness area, but it also sustains a very large tourism industry, a very, very large fishing industry. You know, combined, you know, these industries employ well over 10,000 full-time equivalent jobs. So that's 10,000 people. It contributes somewhere between $1.5 and $2 billion to the southern Australian economy. You know, these are very significant statistics and highlight what we're putting at risk if oil exploration drilling is allowed to proceed in the Great Australian Bight. I mean, obviously, people cannot consider that the risks far outweigh any potential rewards. And there are, you know, a big section of the community is obviously of the belief that we simply can't allow this to be happening anyway in the context of climate change. I mean, we can't allow the fossil fuel industry to continue to expand if we're going to have any chance of a livable climate into the future. So no matter how you look at this one, there's obviously massive opposition.
Yeah. As you mentioned, the seismic testing has been postponed until next year. And what is the role of public participation in this?
Yes, well, the process of getting approvals through the Australian Oil and Gas Regulator requires consultation by these companies with community groups and groups that have got clear interest in the Great Australian Bight. I mean, obviously, this has been questioned for a long time by the community and by groups with interests in the Bight, in that, you know, often people don't feel that this consultation has been happening or is happening to the level which would be considered to be appropriate. So, you know, that's part of the reason why there are so many people raising the alarm here in Australia, in that, you know, you raise a very valid question there, and that is that there is clearly no social license. So the community are clearly very opposed to what's being proposed here. Yet there appears to be no way for the regulator, the NOPSEMA, the body that gives approvals, to take that into consideration, which is astounding. In this day and age, when, you know, if the community that's carrying all the risk, essentially, of a proposal says no, yet the regulator can't take that into account in, you know, whether or not they will give an approval is astounding. And that's obviously something of serious concern.
Yeah. And you might even start to question, what's the purpose of public consultation in this process if they're not being listened to? I want to talk about the industry leaders who claim conducting seismic surveys for many decades, it's safe and sustainable and it's okay for the fishing industry and other users of the marine environment. Do you agree with that? What would you say in response?
I think as time's gone on and our scientific understanding of so many issues has improved, we've realised that things that we might have thought 20 years ago no longer accurate. We've certainly learnt a lot more about the significance of the Great Australian Bight over the last decade, for instance. And now there's more and more being understood about the migration of the world's great whale species through this area and the significance of the area for their reproductive cycles and all sorts. So whilst obviously the industry will make those claims, I do think in 2019 there is a lot of evidence to suggest that seismic activity does have quite a detrimental effect on the marine environment. And there's a lot of evidence out there now. So, yeah, with that in mind, we either need to rapidly advance the type of technologies that are being used, or we need to stay out of sensitive marine environments. And the Great Australian Bight is obviously a very sensitive marine environment. And like I said at the beginning of the interview, a totally inappropriate place to be carrying out seismic activity.
And I mean, you mentioned earlier, but I will ask again, why is it important for the Wilderness Society to fight for the Bight?
Well, we're the Wilderness Society in South Australia. The Great Australian Bight is a huge wilderness area, and our society works to protect, I guess, large, intact, functioning ecosystems that are largely not damaged or disturbed or are functioning well. So that's why our organisation exists, is to try and protect these areas. So obviously, push to turn the Great Australian Bight into an oil field is a serious concern to the Wilderness Society in Australia.
Yeah. Going back to the proposals, what is the next step in this process?
Well, currently, Equinor obviously have their application to carry out exploration drilling with the Australian regulator, NOPSEMA. As I said, NOPSEMA certainly need to respond to that application by the latest, the 14th of November. So that's only a month or so off. Mm. So people are watching that obviously very closely. Whether the company Equinor get an approval from the regulator or not, you know, obviously is a moot point at this stage. If they do get an approval, I think there'll be quite serious response across the community to that. There'll be probably a lot of community activity. There'll be probably very close scrutiny of any approval as well from a legal perspective. But all of that said, an approval doesn't necessarily mean that there's going to be drilling anyway. I mean, ultimately, that needs to be a decision made by, the Equinor board back in Oslo, back in Norway. And, you know, they'll have to make the investment decisions along the lines of whether they're going to proceed with this particular investment or not, given that they've got international investments all over the world. So even if there's an approval given by the Australian regulator, that still doesn't necessarily mean this will go ahead. And I think, you know, Equinor are becoming increasingly aware of the massive opposition to this in Australia and what that potentially means for them, mm-hmm. in terms of their brand and their standing. And, I mean, they are a company with incredible potential to, you know, expand into the renewable sector and be part of a climate solution rather than continuing to exacerbate the problem. So I guess the challenge is then theirs to decide whether they're going to be seen as one of the global oil companies pushing into what they describe as frontier fossil fuel basins in the middle of wilderness areas that have never been exploited before at a point of climate, very serious climate crisis.
Mm. And we have Paris Agreement and like tires.
Yes. Or whether they're going to actually choose to become part of the climate solution. So at that point, it really is down to Equinor and that Equinor board choosing to act responsibly.
Hmm. How vigilant do you think the community needs to be about future proposals?
Well, very. Been quite inspiring being part of the work to protect the Great Australian Bight for a long time now, because the community in Southern Australia is very determined and very vigilant to protect this part of the world. I mean, this is our home. This is where a lot of people live, and they don't want that home destroyed, and they certainly don't want it put at risk. So yeah, the community is vigilant. I know that they won't give up on this one. This is a real line in the sand moment. You know, drilling in the Great Australian Bight is something that the community, and even, you know, polling of across Australia shows very high numbers of people, the vast majority of people polled, even outside of the areas that would be necessarily directly impacted by an oil spill, are opposed to what's being proposed here, which is, I guess, testament to the significance that Australians hold for the Great Australian Bight, the importance of this area to the Australian culture. So, yeah, and this is maybe something that's a bit lost on international oil companies as well. This is considered a very important place, and it's not appropriate for or to be put at risk or industrialized.
Yeah, it's almost like a cultural identity.
Yeah, there's a lot more in this than what necessarily might be seen on the surface. Yeah.
And my final question is, what could our listeners to do get involved?
Well, they can certainly, you know, follow the Great Australian Bight Alliance Facebook page and the Great Australian Bight Alliance's website, the Wilderness Society South Australia's Facebook page. Contact the Wilderness Society. Go to our webpage, the Wilderness Society South Australia. There's all sorts of things that, you know, people can do. So if they're interested in getting involved, have a look at those Facebook pages and those respective websites, the Great Australian Bight Alliance and the Wilderness Society. There's landing pages on those sites with all sorts of ways that people can help.
Peter Owen is the director of the Wilderness Society. Peter, thank you for your time.
Thank you very much.
We contacted Equinor for a statement about their transparency, whether they value to social license to operate, and how drilling more oil aligns with their support of the Paris Climate Agreement. The Equinor's country manager for Australia said, collaborating and engaging with communities is central to the way Equinor works around the world, and we bring the same approach to our work here in Australia. We recognize and respect that there are a range of views about energy policy and the offshore oil and gas industry more broadly. It is natural that energy matters are subject to public debate, and we see similar discussions in many countries where we operate. Over the last 2 years, we have traveled across South Australia and other states meeting with interested groups. So far, we have attended more than 400 meetings with more than 200 organizations, and we have listened to the community, business owners, and the other interested stakeholders. Everyone wants assurances that this can be done safely, and many are also interested in potential economic benefits that would come from a commercial discovery in the Great Australian Bight. In February 2019, Equinor was the first company to voluntarily publish a draft environmental plan for an offshore exploration well, allowing members of the community to review and submit comments to the independent regulator, NOPSEMA. For this episode, I'd like to say special thanks to Bonnie Paris for editing the script and Chris Jofortes for his technical support. I'm Dennis Yildiz. Thank you for listening and stay tuned for the next episode. Custodians of the Planet is an independent and freely available media program and relies entirely on contributions from listeners. If you appreciate what we do and would like to support us, there are a few ways to do so. Start a conversation with your friends and colleagues and be part of the change. Share a link to our podcasts on social media. Donate to our podcast. Each episode is the product of hours of on-location audio recording, editing, research, scheduling, and music composition. Just $10, a couple of coffees will sustain the hours of labor that go into producing each episode and ensure Custodians of the Planet is an ongoing series. Thank you for your support.